This is Inside Jag Nation, the official podcast of the South Alabama Jaguars. Each week, hear from Jaguar student athletes, coaches, staff, and alumni as they uncover and relive great stories. With this week's guest, here's former All-Sunbelt Conference offensive lineman Chris May and Jaguar radio broadcaster JT Crabtree.
Thank you guys so much for joining us. You are tuned in to Inside Jag Nation. This is the official South Alabama Jaguar Athletics Program's podcast. I am your co-host, Chris May, joined by my man, the intramural all-star himself, Mr. JT Crabtree. JT, how you doing today?
Okay, we got to set the record straight because you keep saying I do other things too sometimes. No, I'm good. Glad to be here and glad to be welcoming in our next guest this week here on Inside Jag Nation.
Me too, man. Me too. Me and our next guest have some history together. He is a great friend of mine. He is also a former second baseman. He is reigning from Huntsville, Alabama. He is best known for his childlike sense of humor and ridiculous love for Japanese Express and Super Mario Party. He started his friendship with me through sliding into my DMs on Facebook. He was also the best man at my wedding, made a huge impact on my life. He's one of the goofiest people you'll ever meet, but I consider him to be a brother, Matt Bolger. Matty B, how you doing, man?
Matty B. Great intro right there. Thank you so much for that, Chris. Everything you said is pretty much true right there, so, especially the Japanese Express.
It is. He has a
got the best sushi in Mobile, man.
Debatable, but well, anyways,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah.
Thank you for joining us, man. We really appreciate you coming on the show with us. Get to tell some old fun ghost stories. So give us a little bit of a background of where you're at now, where you've been since post-graduation. What's going on in the life of Matt Bolger?
Yeah, so decided to stay in Mobile, Alabama. I graduated from South in 2017, and I've been in Mobile for the last 2 years. And I worked for a college ministry called Campus Outreach, and so sticking around Mobile at least for a little while now.
Yeah, so how did you get involved with Campus Outreach, and what exactly is it that you guys do on campus?
Yeah, so I think the story kind of even getting connected to Campus Outreach goes back right after I graduated high school. My brother was on staff with Campus Outreach at Troy University, so it's kind of tough to say that on the Jag podcast.
We'll let it slide.
Yeah, so he was up there, and we didn't have a Campus Outreach down here at South in 2013 and 14. But I would kind of be connected to CO just through going to, like, we have something called New Year's Conference and something called Summer Beach Project. So I was kind of indirectly connected to CO. But Campus Outreach itself, actually, as a ministry, came to South in 2015. And so when they came to South, I basically kind of partnered with them. I was a junior in college. And then that's kind of how the relationship with CO started here at South, and obviously have been, connected with them since. And, I mean, you asked what we do, and a lot of what we do is, we really, our vision, our heart is to impact college students with the gospel. So, whether that be wherever kind of anyone is on their spiritual journey, we want to come alongside them and help them grow in their faith. And honestly, just college is such an impactful time of trying to figure out, how you're going to live the rest of your life and potentially who you're going to marry and what your job is going to be after college. So it's just kind of a unique time to come alongside someone and help them walk through those years in college of, 18 to 22 years old.
That's so awesome. We both have some very similar connections in the world of CO, Justin Huara and a lot of those guys,
Ty
Jordan, all of those guys that we both have been friends with. You obviously a lot longer than I have, and we've had some fun wiffle ball games together as well.
Doubt.
That was a fantastic
birthday
night.
Wiffle ball games, that's
right. Yeah, so let's rewind a little bit, man. Let's go back all the way to the beginning of Matt Bolger's baseball career, because that's ultimately what led you down here to Mobile. When did you start playing baseball? How did that kind of start?
Yeah, man, travel ball starting at 8 years old, and basically that's the only sport I played from. I did some like rec basketball, but it was pretty much travel baseball year round from 8 years old to 18 years old, and I joined a travel ball team called Excel Baseball out of Oxford, and so that was 15, 16 years old, and Cole Billingsley played baseball here. He was committed to South already, and so through that, Coach Zuli used to be here, and him and Coach Lucky would come to some of the games, and so really kind of how I ended up at South was just through them coming to watch me play in the summer, and I came down to a prospect camp my junior year. in high school. And through that, honestly, man, a lot of coming to South is just is the baseball, you know, connection. And I just really love the coaching staff. I love being here. I had never heard about South Alabama. And I didn't know what the campus was like until I actually came down here and took a visit. And when I got down here, I just really fell in love with it. And ultimately just decided pretty early on in high school that I wanted to be here at South. And so committed here. And then, you know, here we are.
That's pretty cool. You mentioned Coach Zuli. He's over at Alabama now.
That's right.
When they came down here, he's still coaching third. He's still barking out the same things he did when he was here. Every time I heard in the crowd, I'm like, be a hitter. Be a hitter. That's and right. Every time I was like, that's still Zuli. That's still Z.
Don't miss the cookie, big man. That's a famous Zuli line. Don't miss the fastball.
My first year working games here at South, officially out of college, was 15. You were a part of that team. It's one of my favorite teams. I got to travel on the road with a bunch of you guys, the Dirtbag Jack Russells.
Yeah.
You guys were fun, man. Let's kind of think back to 15 and 16. Those are some good ball teams, man. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. So 2015, the dirtbag Jack Russells. I really don't know how that started, that name. I think there was a guy named Cameron Cummings.
I was about to say Cam Cummings.
I was literally just thinking in my mind. You don't know where that started, but I feel like I'd have to know where it started just knowing Cam.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, man, it was just we weren't that good, but we just loved playing hard. We loved one another. We had just a great time playing, and we would just compete. And so that's how the DBJRs started in 2015. And so, man, that was probably one of my, there was several awesome years, but that was one of my favorite years at South because we really weren't that good, but we just got hot and we were sweeping weekends.
That Georgia Southern weekend?
Yeah.
Man,
that was great.
That's some good ball.
And there's some fun bus rides and just had a lot of fun with that team. And then in 16, the Never Say Die Jags, man, that was the first year we got to go to a regional, and that was at Florida State. And there was, we had some freshman guys that were super talented. We were still good on the mound. And, yeah, man, I think just the talent that was on those teams, but also just the culture of those teams and the hard work and kind of who we were as a team and our identity, man, it made it really fun. So
Mark Calvi is one of my favorite guys on campus. Yeah. What was it like to play for him?
Yeah, Coach Calvi, man, he's great. I love – part of the reason I just love being around South is I can still go to the baseball field and just hang out with him and be around him. And, man, I love that guy. He's genuine. He's authentic. And we have some great conversations. But playing for him, I mean, man, all he really asks is that you just show up and go hard and do as hard as you can. That's a fun coach to play for. And he's, he loves laughing and having fun and players coach. But I love playing for Coach Calvi and wish I still could. So
2017 conference championship for you guys, the walk-off and extras that you had at Georgia Southern. But to get to extras, you had to hit back-to-back homers with Hardy and Papp in the ninth to tie at 6-6. Yeah. I was in New Orleans for a concert, and I was with my now wife, and we are walking in the mall, and I said, I pulled up my phone and said, we got to get back to the hotel. I got to see this. And as soon as we get to the hotel, Papp hits the second one to go back-to-back. How much fun was that in the dugout for that to happen?
Oh, man. It was unbelievable. I remember we had the towels wrapped around our head.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Cam, Joey Jones, we're at the top of the steps just going crazy. I mean, that was amazing, man. Because that was, they went up in the bottom of the eighth, and then we went, back-to-back in the ninth. And so, it was wild, and it was packed house, and so it was all Georgia Southern fans basically,
It was hostile too.
Yeah,
they were screaming at you guys.
Yeah, that game was pretty intense, man. So,
So I've got to interject here.
Yeah.
Why are baseball players so weird in the dugout? Where does that come from?
That's part of it, man. Yeah,
no offense to specialists in football, but similar to that, there's something quirky about it. It's awesome, but where does it come from? I mean,
part of it is I can't reveal those things to you.
You'd have to kill me.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the culture of being a baseball player and the culture of a baseball locker room. It's one of a kind. So. Yep.
Yeah. I played in high school, and my team was known around Mobile as being that annoying team that did all the obnoxious chants and the yelling and all the crazy stuff.
That's right.
We'd go back and forth yelling, in your head all day, in your head all day. And that was just our thing. It's part of it, man.
Yeah, we definitely got in the pitcher's heads a lot from the dugout, so we rattled them.
What do you miss most about playing, man?
Yeah, man, I think two things. One, just the team, just being around the guys. I mean, you make some of your just favorite memories in college, you know, whether it's on a bus trip or whether it's in a hotel or whether it's on the field. So I think just that side of it is just being around the same guys day in and day out. And then also I think just the competitive part of the game. I miss competing. And so right now for me, that's a lot of spike ball and golf. But, yeah, I just miss playing and playing hard in some of those games that there's a lot of energy and intensity at. Those were fun games to be a part of. So.
All right, we've got another question on the list, but I got to jump one in here real quick. Yeah. You're talking about bus rides.
Yeah.
I remember – you got to help me out here because there's a game you guys played in 15 with Cody Van Aken when we went up to Evansville on that long, long bus ride.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What in the world was – it was like a sheriff and you guys were like figuring out stuff and there was a detective or something. I don't even remember the name. I don't even know. I remember the whole bus ride thinking, what are they doing?
Yeah.
And you guys did it for like 6 hours. Do you remember what that was?
Mafia.
Mafia.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Yeah,
just playing Mafia. So that was like a – I remember that was a out-of-conference weekend. We were – it was like the middle of the year. And, man, that was a 10-hour trip. And
that
so,
was brutal.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure on that Sunday ride on the way back, we were just not in our right minds. So.
All right, so last one that I have for you, Maddie, is when did it kind of dawn on you you wanted to stay around the college atmosphere and be a part of CO?
Yeah, I think it comes back to just my life and my story. College was just some of the most impactful times for me spiritually, but also just growing as a person and figuring out who I am. And, you know, and so through that, a lot of why I'm attracted to college students and love doing college ministry is because it was just such an impactful time in my life. And so to be able to kind of pour back into that and be a part of seeing other people be impacted, that's why I do it.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about your student athlete, your perspective as a student athlete and kind of your experiences that. How do you think that those times as a student athlete impacted where you're at today and who you are today?
Yeah. Man, I think some of those – it's a hard question, I think, because some of the things are just it's hard to measure, like, how much it does impact you, you know. And I think some of the practical things is just, you know, time management, hard work, humility, just things that you learn and that the game, you know, for me it was baseball, but, you know, baseball, it's like if you, you know, 3 out of 10 times, if you get a hit, like, you're great. And so there's just life lessons that the game, the sport, being an athlete teaches you that some things are measurable and then other things it's like, you know, I don't really know how much it impacted me, but I'm sure that, you know, in a lot of ways, the person that I am today is because of sports, you know.
I think that it's funny that you say that it's hard to measure, because it really is kind of hard to measure exactly the value of being a student athlete. To me, it's kind of one of those things that, you know, how people say, oh, that person, like a leader or whoever, they've just got it. They've got it, whatever that it is. And I think that it is kind of the same thing in relation to being a college athlete, that you can't really explain the exact tangible amount of how much it impacts you. But, dude, I mean, it drastically changed the trajectory of my life. Like, without college football, I don't go to college. Like, I would have had no desire to do that, really. And it completely changed the trajectory of my life. If I don't do that, I don't meet my wife. I don't, you know, have the daughter that I have now, so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's awesome, man. What advice would you give to a current or a soon-to-be collegiate student athlete?
Yeah, man. I mean, so I'm not an old guy. I'm only 25, so definitely not old. But I feel old when I'm meeting 18-year-old freshmen. It's like, man, I'm removed a little bit from college now. And so I think the one thing I would say, and this even kind of goes in line, we do something with athletes on Wednesday night with Campus Outreach. And a lot of what we're doing is just trying to give wisdom, like, from a couple years out, in the sense of, you know, you're coming in as a freshman and you're not really thinking about what you're going to be doing after college, because you got class and then you got weights and then, you know, you got all these things that are already on your plate. But I think the advice that I would give to someone coming into college is just, you are you're so much more than how you perform on the field. You're so much more than just a physical body. You're so much more than just what you do. And I would just encourage someone coming in is to invest into your soul and invest into your life and figure out your identity and who you want to be for the rest of your life. And I think college is probably one of the most forming times for that to happen.
So. I love that, man. Love that. I mean, it was for me. It completely changed my life. I always liked to say that, you know, or tell anybody along those same lines is that your sport, it's what you play. It's not who you are. Yeah. Like your identity cannot be found in that, because if it is, it's going to leave you hanging, man. I mean, that the sport in and of itself, the actual sport of baseball, football, whatever it may be, could care less about you as a person. Like yeah. It's going to chew you up, spit you out. There's going to be another Matt Bolger. There's going to be another Chris May. Like, it doesn't matter. The cycle continues. It's yeah. What do you use that sport to do? You can't allow it to use you, because right. If you do, like.
Yeah. And it's hard. It's a both and, because there's a tension you have to live in, because and like you're called to work really hard at your sport, and you're called to be a good teammate, and you're called to you know, you gotta be at the weight room, right? You gotta lift. And so I think there's a sometimes it's either like it's easy to pick one side or the other, like, you know, this is gonna be my everything or I don't care at all about it. And I think there's something really healthy about living in a good balance of like, man, I'm gonna go as hard as I can at this, but at the end of the day I can lay my head down at night knowing that, like, man, this is not who I am. And I think that that's really hard to do. Like, it's going to be hard not to attach your identity to what you do, whether that's your sport or whether that's your job after college or whatever it is. But, yeah, man, I think there's a way to live in the tension of what you do and who you are and how that kind of connects with sports. So it's not easy for sure.
I think you got your snippet for the promo.
I literally, if you might have seen me reach over and hit M on the keyboard, that's marker, and I was like, and I'm going back to that clip right there.
No, I love that, man. I mean, just from our experiences together, I think that we both just, you know, agree completely on that. I love what you're saying there. I love what you guys are doing with Campus Outreach and the aspect of moving forward with that. Kind of switching gears a little bit with it, with this next question. Who would you say has been the most impactful person in your life?
Yeah. Man, I was thinking about this question before, and I don't know. I think there's been a lot of different people that have come into my life, older people that have shown me different just characteristics and different ways in which they've impacted me. But kind of maybe this is, I'm just thinking about this now, but I mean, I think some of the most impactful people in my life are people that I've had the opportunity to impact. And I know that's kind of a weird way to think about it, but I'm thinking about just specifically, you know, Drew LeBounty and, you know, the tragedy that happened in his life in his senior year. And man, I learned a lot from that guy. And that's a guy that I got the opportunity to impact in a lot of ways. But I think he has, you know, I'm just using him as an example, but he has no idea how much he impacted me through the way in which he lives his life and the way in which he walks. And so I think people that I've had the opportunity hopefully to impact, to see them grow in college, to see their life change, that really impacts me a lot and brings me a lot of joy to see those people. So I think there's been a lot of people, both older and younger. So
that's awesome. What would you say is Matt Bolger's definition of success?
Yeah. It's funny you ask, man. I think this is something I've been thinking about even just this fall. I'm in kind of a new position with Campus Outreach and here leading the ministry at South. And I think I'm trying to redefine the way that I view success as not necessarily like how fruitful you are, but how faithful you are. And so I would say my definition of success is the life that you have and the life that you're given and the responsibilities you have. Are you faithful in those things? And I think that if at the end of the day, you know, you can say I was faithful to my, you know, to my wife, or I was faithful to my job, or I was faithful to, you know, my work, whatever it may be, I was faithful to my sport, my school. Like, I think there can be a lot of peace in that. And that kind of relieves the pressure of I got to go, you know, I got to go bat 500 this year. I got to impact all, you know, this certain amount of people. But it's, hey, I worked hard and I tried and I was faithful to what I was given. So with what was given to me.
That's awesome, man. I think that that's a great way to live in that tension that you were talking about earlier of finding, you know, not finding your identity in your sport, but also not being lazy in your right. sport. I think faithful is a great word to kind of describe that that really kind of middle paradox ground, if yeah. you will. There's a big word. Sadly, I don't know how to spell yeah. it. So,
what was the word you used this weekend on the
kerfuffle?
Kerfuffle.
What is that?
I don't know. He's set in the middle
that's
of the game.
That's not a word. That's yeah. a fake word.
Well, one of the last questions, well, this is the last question for this episode, but one of the last things that we always like to ask people when they come on the show, just to kind of, you know, encompass kind of your experience as a Jag, what would you say is your most favorite memory of your time at South?
Yeah.
It's hard to pick one. I mean, you can give us two, yeah. three if yeah. you need to, but.
Right. Yeah. Man, I think those years, 15 to 17, just the team, the championships we got to win, the fun that we had, the conversations that I was able to have with some of my teammates and conversations that teammates were having with me. I mean, I don't know if there's just this one specific memory, but it's like those 3 years were really sweet years in my life because it was just a lot of fun. And I saw a lot of things happen in people's lives on my team that like that will impact me forever. And so I think going to the regional and, you know, just being like Florida State and Southern Miss and just the atmosphere of games, those are some of my favorite memories. And then, man, outside of that, I think just friendships that formed that will probably continue for the rest of my life. So sorry for the super broad answer right there, but I don't know if I have one specific memory. Beating some of those big teams. I think we swept Arkansas my freshman year, or 2 out of 3, and then just beating Alabama and Auburn is always good. We did that a lot. But, yeah, I don't know, man. That's a lot. So I think I probably gave like 7 answers there.
I'm really disappointed that you didn't say sliding into my DMs
yeah.
and beginning a friendship with me was your favorite memory. I'm really disappointed about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's top 10. But
I made the list.
It's top 10.
I made
yeah,
the list.
Oh, man. Maddie, appreciate you coming over and talk with us, man. This has been great stuff.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me.
Appreciate you, man.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I remember when we were down at the Tallahassee Regional, and uh-huh. I go down and interview Calvi for his pregame interview.
Yep.
And you were hot at the time, and you were taking BP, and I told Coach, I was like, "Hey, that guy, he knows how to do it. Like, that is a good guy you got there on your team." And he yeah. said, "If I can have 35 Matt Bulgers, we're winning a lot of ball games."
Means a yeah. lot, man. Appreciate yeah. it. Yeah.
Appreciate you coming over here,
yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Hey, before we let you go, where can people find more stuff about Campus Outreach?
Yeah, man. I think social media is big, obviously, and so our social media, our Instagram is it's at @CO_SouthAlabama, and so there's a lot of, you know, that's kind of how we put out our information. We have weekly meetings that we meet in the cafeteria, we have retreats that we do, we have big conferences with other schools, and then, you know, we do athlete stuff, and we're pretty much, you know, we're around campus a lot. We're in the student center a lot, just hanging out and trying to connect with people and build relationships. So Instagram, and then cobirmingham.org is the campus outreach website, and we're actually our region is the Campus Outreach Birmingham region, and there's 8 to 9 colleges that are in that. So those are the two main things, is Instagram and then just cobirmingham.org. Those are kind of places where you can learn more about Campus Outreach and kind of what we do on the campus. So
very cool. Former yeah. Jag second baseman Matt Bulger joining us here on Inside Jag Nation. Thanks for coming over, man.
Yeah, thank y'all.
That's been good stuff. That'll wrap up this episode of Inside Jag Nation. You can catch a new episode weekly on Mondays on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and on iHeartRadio. From Matt, for Chris, I'm JT Crabtree. We'll see you guys next time.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Weekly episodes can be found for free on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and iHeartRadio by simply searching South Alabama Jaguars. You can also go to usajaguars.com and select the Multimedia tab. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!